Start then. Right. Welcome.
Thank you.
That's nice. Cool. Right. Main thing tonight, has anybody got some updates they want to bring? Has anybody got any thoughts, issues, problems or stuff with what was shared on Wednesday? And then other than that, Mike's got lots of stuff from what happens in America, and it'd be interesting to know quite where we're going with that and what's happening next.
Hi.
Come on.
Fully present.
Yeah, well.
Don't be coy. You know
that once you start, you won't shut up.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Updates. Let's start with good news. You've got a brochure.
We haven't.
So well, it's just a cover then.
No. What it was, we have a brochure, but
just won't print properly.
When Jeremy's printer, this came out white.
But when I printed it, it came out okay.
So it didn't quite look like this because this was the one that Jeremy looked at for us. But on Jeremy's printer, it's white. That's why I was showing.
It's the combination of my PC and the printer.
Yeah, should be like.
That's what it should be like. Yeah, yellow in the middle.
These colours.
Rainbow.
It's like blue and yellowy pinky, but it was just white on Jeremy's.
The content though. The content's what's more important than the pinky colour on the front.
Right.
Good. Right on. Okay.
So we just need some internet content now. But I don't know how to do that. I can be guided.
Give me the content.
Yeah.
Just need a
Word document if you like, and I will upload it for you.
Thank you.
Right, well that's good.
Sorted.
Sorted, you've done your own work then. That's all good.
First group up and running.
Ooh. That would be funny, wouldn't it, if it was?
I think it'd be funny, I think it'd be really good.
Yeah. Unlikely, but really good.
Why unlikely?
Because we've not got our content yet, have we?
So you've got a cover, you've still got a cover, but you haven't got anything else.
No, it's full up with stuff.
It's full up.
Our brochure's done.
Mm. So content for what? You mean the groups?
No, the website bit.
You don't need much more than what's
on
Just take it from there.
It'll just put it on the website. There's no more than that.
Oh, okay. Can you just take it off then?
Well, give it. Oh, yeah.
Yes. What order do you want it in?
I can talk to you.
Stuff like that. No, that would be helpful.
Nice, nice pink, yellow and blue background on the website?
No.
Rainbow.
You can have pictures, but you cannot have background. Sorry. Because I don't know how to do that.
I don't think you can have a rainbow background. I bet you wrote that in HTML.
Just an image. Just load the image and put everything in front of it.
Oh, it might go, so you go.
It says copyright stuff on the images, though.
Depends where you
get the gold from.
Tintinet.
Yes, but where on Tintinet? And who owns the copyright?
If you haven't got permission to put them on the website, you haven't got permission to put them in the leaflet either.
No, they were unblocked. They were unblocked gifts, so I'm assuming they were free.
Can't see.
You can't.
No, I can't. I'll have to have a look.
Pixabay.
What's what?
Yeah. Pixabay.
What's that?
It's a free image site. Or a site with free images.
PIX.
ABAY.
I'll
have
a look.
ABAY.
Most of the ones I use for the ones that I use for work, which I subscribe to.
Free pictures.
Yeah, free pictures.
If you subscribe to them, then you can
use them.
Well, if you subscribe to them, then your work can use them.
Yes, it depends whether you subscribe or whether activists subscribe.
Who pays
not me.
Who owns the rights?
Yeah, that rights will belong to them, not to us.
Okay, I will have a look then.
But there are sources of free images out there. I'm sure Media Mountain can help you with that.
Pixabay is very good. It's very normal hours.
How do you spell that?
Yeah. There are others.
We ain't got that many free images.
Sites. Other ones are available.
You've only got a couple of images.
It's
not many.
Shift in the matrix.
Some of them are for Christian websites as well.
If you want to make nice images and GIFs and clever things for your social media, you can use Canva.
Canva.
CANVA.com. Canva.com.
What's that, GIFs?
So if you want, GIS. If you want images to go on a social media page, or you want stuff for a website, and you want to put writing on the top captions and that sort of stuff, you can do that. You upload your image, and it's got all these suite of very clever styles and graphics that you could just put on the top.
Pixabay.
Is it free?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. We've got an actual proper equivalent of that, haven't we?
Yep. Can't remember what it's called. I don't use it.
But for those who might be doing brochures and playing, yes, these are free resources that you can try. Mm. How do we get onto that?
Sorry.
Anyway. Anything else from Good News?
Not from the last time that I updated, no. We haven't met. So we have got a meeting booked in for next week, next Wednesday.
Cool. Brilliant. Good, good. Anybody else got anything exciting then? Any updates? More brochures?
Jeremy, have you
seen
our brochures? Our brochure's done. Have we not seen it? Have we not seen it here?
Your brochure?
I should have.
It's done. Thank you. I'm sure we've
not.
Yeah. That's the media. That's media. We have got.
Media.
We're, the far is in process. In process. The media is done. And uploaded to the website.
You're not allowed to get brochure envy.
That's good. Blue.
We are what we are.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty rainbow colours.
Yeah. And bubble writing.
My little ponies and unicorns.
I know.
Magical pixie horses.
Jeremy, have you had a look at Blessing Brochure team? No.
I have had a look, but I haven't got any further than having a look.
So I'm sure if you have a nice little whisper into your son's ear, he might have a look for you.
I don't know if he can do it. He just needs lining up for some reason.
Sorry? Did you say I don't know if he can look?
Yes. I don't know if he can do it. I don't know.
He probably can.
Yeah.
I didn't ask him.
I can do it. I can.
What have you done it in? Publisher?
Publisher.
Was it Publisher? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just had a form.
Template.
Template. Mm-hmm. But it just doesn't line up when you print it. Which is very strange.
It should do.
Tricky, tricksy.
No, I didn't. Oh. From when we did it the other day.
Yeah, you can cut that and paste it out of the PowerPoint.
Yeah.
So was that,
if you know how to do that.
I hadn't known.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get the eagle and the lion and all the rest of it.
Here we go, look at this. Yeah. It suddenly becomes a competitive thing. Yes.
I didn't know you had bi-monthly disciple trip group activities that will include.
No, you would.
There you go.
I think you are new to write down what your book was like, right?
Right, if we see where these are all written, we might have to have a little look through and see whether there's some consistency of information for people.
You're very welcome to look through and change out.
Don't change your colour, though.
But no colour change, yeah, no, that's fine. Leave it in my little pony.
I'm sorry.
Great.
I was all
about
crying.
There we go. Right. It's going to get passed around all night. It might be a good idea if we actually agree when we want these all finished by.
1st of December sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 1st of when?
31st of December might be a good idea.
Yeah, it would be a very good idea by then, but might be useful to get them slightly before that.
Yes, particularly if any input from FAR or media is required, because it's not fair otherwise. So.
From the bottom of the table. For them that not got many on their mountain, like, all three, are you expecting from all the mountains these year brochures?
That was the
idea. Because we've just started on a Katoomba, so we're a bit behind at the stage of things, really.
That's all right. But from that should flow t'other. What you're going to do with your group? What face your?
Well, we know which face, like, and we know
what your purpose of your mountain is.
Yeah. Well,
what kind of activities it will undertake?
I'm just doing a bit of scribbling.
Oh, see, ours doesn't include that because in the beginning that wasn't said. Right, putting a face on it.
No, we haven't got a face on ours.
Nigel, what's your email address?
Restricted. It's Jeremy S. Oh,
you can attract
freedom. Yeah, you can add the
brochure.
You have to add it.
Pardon?
You have to add
it's
it.
It's good,
that,
I like
that's
it.
That's actually how people will know where to be drawn to, won't they?
Okay, this is the question. Yeah, your husband is where I leave the front.
Yeah, ours too.
So we need to put about the face.
Good, I like it.
I'm not sure you can fit a face in there.
Well, if we remember, what's the purpose for these things?
Yeah.
Yeah, but when we originally were starting to talk about them, we hadn't sorted out the...
Yeah, yeah, whatever. What's the purpose of it now?
It is. Yeah, but we've finished it. We've done it, that's what I mean.
We have to make a minor amendment.
It is written, though, with a view to attracting people.
The media tribe resonates with Eagle in there. Yeah. All we have to do is put the same.
Put a sentence in.
Okay.
Resonates with the...
It's not complicated.
No, I know.
You're
no.
The man.
It's easy.
Yeah, simple.
I know, ignore me. Just talk
bi-monthly. Oh, two-monthly.
Is it bi-monthly?
Every other week.
Bi-weekly?
No.
Every 2 weeks.
Twice a week.
Bi-monthly.
Bi-monthly, is that every... Oh, twice every a month? Yes. Or every 2 months?
Bi-monthly is every 2 months.
Yeah.
So every 2 months.
It should be bi-weekly.
Bi-weekly is every 2 weeks.
You're just going to very infrequently.
You should have biannually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
we thought we'd try and slip that past.
Yeah, you did get it past.
Like, oh, fail.
Bi-weekly.
Yeah.
Cross that one out. Yeah.
Fortnightly.
Fortnightly. I mean, people in America don't understand fortnightly.
We didn't know that.
They don't know what it means.
They don't speak English.
I was saying that.
They were like,
what?
What would they say then?
Every 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Meet one, miss one.
1 week on, 1 week off.
It's very good, I like it.
It's very good.
Well, I think it would be a nice idea if we... let's choose a date that we can all agree on when it would be good to have at least a draft which can be reviewed for content and then we can try and get them all put together. So what do we think?
Because the longer it takes, the longer it's going to take for people to engage with the groups.
Isn't it? Yeah.
That's the white one.
Did we actually set a time when we wanted to start the groups?
Right. No. Nope. But I'm guessing it's going to be in the new year.
Bi-weekly.
No, we haven't actually, but we can.
Bi-weekly.
Isn't
there a time lag?
Fortnightly.
Oh, right.
Fortnightly.
Fortnightly
is much better. Every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm not getting back
in. I didn't know that we needed to put that specific information. No, I thought it was general that for every.
You don't have to put it.
No.
Just because we happen to have put it, you don't have to put it by... The meetings thing is just what they've chosen to put in. That's not essential. You can agree that with your group. When you decide to do it, purpose of the mountain, alignment with the face, things that will attract people so they can resonate with it and go, actually, that fits me.
I think somewhere there needs to be signposted so we can say, because people aren't going to automatically know what the faces mean, so we need to be able to signpost people to what faces mean.
By an ox eagle man.
Mm-hmm. If you're a new Christian.
On that little diagram, it's sort of, new Christians.
As a seven, we did have did look at it, but I came to see you 3 times and I couldn't get you in the office, so I still haven't talked to you about it.
Okay.
tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
It's your fault, Jeremy. Take a number. You weren't available.
Are you free tomorrow, Jeremy, to see Deb?
Yeah. Always. Yes, let me know when you're coming. I'll make sure that.
Well, I can't.
You're not
really
there.
I've got Valtrout and Mark in tomorrow morning. Wow. A full team. But other than that,
you're free.
I am available.
I didn't know that, but I have tried this morning because I was supposed to do it last weekend.
So, end of October then?
I won't be here. Do you want to
get
my broken
piece? Yeah. Okay. That gives you actually 3 weeks.
You've got a draft.
Yeah. It's just.
It just needs.
Yeah. Aligning.
Aligning. It's been the flojo.
We haven't got a mountain exactly to work with yet, have you? It's just kind of you.
Yeah. Two angels.
You're allowed to produce a third of a brochure.
Right, 31st of October. That's a Monday.
We won't be meeting on that day.
No.
So can the exchange approach somebody on media then to give us a hand to put it together? Because I'm not sure that I'm all that great on graphics. So.
Yes.
So if we dropped out what we feel we want, and then somebody to help us put the graphics in and such like.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you can kind of sketch out what you want,
we'd
or map
give
out
you an
what
idea
you want,
and then. I mean, we'll have to draw it out. Yeah. It's getting it from the internet to do it.
Yeah.
So okay. So I'll make an appointment with you.
You don't really have to make an appointment. You just have to not come 3 times and find me not there.
Use technology like email.
Oh, she did come on, you know, Saturday and Sunday twice.
Yeah.
No, she didn't.
Okay. Thank you.
Cool.
Right.
That turned into a whole event, didn't it?
The clock, you know, the clock will be at 5 to 12.
Yeah.
If you see what I mean.
I do.
And we come because we're still working on the computer.
Okay. That's right.
Just a bit behind and.
Two things we can, mate. Right. Any more exciting developments? Who knows what tangent that'll lead to?
We've actually now got Spanish translation going.
Yay!
Ooh.
That's awesome!
Yes, we have.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, I had some comments too from people who were.
Who were Spanish?
Spanish,
yeah.
Did you understand them?
Well, not originally.
Not translation.
I was going to be impressed then.
But, yeah.
Apple Spanish. I read the comments. I thought there had been some.
Yeah. Well, no, some of them were in English.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's the ones I could understand.
Well, that's good.
So where's they come from? How's that work?
It's Edgar from LA somewhere.
Yeah, Edgar from LA. From Azusa Street, in fact.
Oh, yeah.
LA. It's the area.
We'll try not to read anything into that.
No, it's just where he lives. But, he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he's produced. He's already translated a lot. It's just getting it off him has been the issue. But now we've got it off him. We've got it uploaded, and I've nearly got a Facebook page going in Spanish as well. I do have a Facebook page going in Portuguese. We have a Facebook page in Chinese.
Wow.
Well, we assume it is.
Don't break to you.
Google Translate suggests that it has something.
It's got something relevant on it.
We recognise some of the headlines.
So, most of the major languages of the world covered now, then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got someone sort of working on
Hindi,
Urdu and Hindi or something. Hindi, yeah. Well, he's looking for someone to. Yeah. Do the Hindi or Urdu version.
Well, that's all coming.
Mm-hmm. Who'd have thought?
I know, it's just crazy.
Yeah. How many people have we got signed up now?
Well, we're sort of debating.
We reckon it's about 900,
I mean, well, I reckon.
Could be 800.
I reckon it's more than that. Yeah. But we've got more paying than have actually
participated
in the new thing.
We're trying to figure out how to
they're still paying.
They're still paying.
Yeah.
Is that what?
Well, they just haven't.
haven't done it.
A lot of them see downloaded the material
and maybe taking their time to work through it.
Yeah, maybe still working through it.
If they don't need any new stuff, then they...
Yeah.
They're managing sort of with the old system.
Yeah. But
they can.
Yeah, I'm not... I mean, in theory, we had, I think, 950 people sign up since the beta group stage. And we've had 100-odd people at the alpha... Well, 200-odd people at the alpha group stage originally. So... Obviously, some people have dropped out and different things, but I think it's closer to 1,000 people who are actually signed up more than that. But
yeah,
we can't prove that. Well, we can. We can prove how many people are paying.
Yeah, sort of. It's not all that easy to even prove how many people are paying. Because quite a few are. Well, quite a few are having trouble with PayPal and stuff, and so it just gets. We have a new opt-out clause where if you send us a year's money, we'll sign you up for a year.
And then you'll get a letter from Sam.
Then you get a reminder from Sam.
Which is...
So you will be reminded.
You will be reminded without a doubt.
Yeah. They're unambiguous.
And if you're a day late, you'll be suspended.
Yeah, that's to remind. That's just another reminder.
Missed your payment, mate.
Yeah.
Sam does find that suspending people does attract their attention. Yeah, and they do then cooperate.
Yeah.
Generally.
Wow. So, I didn't know we were taking on sanctions.
It's not quite like that. It's more like when we've tried for several weeks to contact someone and they don't reply, and you then suspend them and you get an instant message from them.
Yeah, it's a motivator.
Yeah,
because now when we suspend them, they can't access their stuff. So,
well, that's better. At least we've got some leverage.
Unless they've downloaded it, which they can still do. Yeah. It's just not so. Right. It's not as easy to download it, and it's also not as proper, not as beneficial to download it as it used to be.
But there are, there are people still signing up regularly. Oh, so it's 3 or 4 today, I think. You get a spate of people saying that after I've been somewhere.
Yeah. Someone even pay.
Yeah, someone even pay. So people from Middle America signing up there.
Yeah, there were quite a few. Okay. Yeah.
Can I ask a question about groups?
Yes,
please do.
No mention of any sort of intended start date for it. So,
well, we're sort of waiting for the brochures.
Marketing material required.
On the brochures.
It's like we have to find some way of getting people to engage and look at which group they feel drawn to, which face they feel drawn to. And next thing is we have to send out a reminder for all those who didn't actually turn up on last Wednesday, which was probably more people than were there, to listen to it and respond. I mean, if there's a dragging of feet, we'll just have to do the thing again on a Sunday, so everyone can listen to it again, basically.
Oh, just play the tape.
So, yeah, hopefully we'll get that. Once we got the brochures, then at least people will have, hey, here's something, it'll be a reminder of this is something that we're asking everyone to participate in, so therefore listen, and then choose to be.
So the church chat on Wednesday, are you going out, or is somebody going out to the Crosscombe guys and doing the same thing, or do they?
Well, it's a bit difficult because of the nature of their thing. They can't really participate in all different groups because of the nature. Graham goes out there every week and sort of does a group with them, basically, don't he?
Not voluntary.
No.
No. So essentially, Graham goes out there every week and engages with them and does Fresh Start and things. So that's at that point, that's his. I do think we can engage with those who are in the move on houses.
Yeah, definitely.
And who aren't sort of, moved on a bit, and encourage them that they can, be part of that. Alan and some of the others, and there's no reason why they can't be part. And I think by inviting them to be part, probably would have will encourage them to belong. There's no reason we can't do that. I think probably it would be a good idea to collect email addresses of people we haven't got email addresses for. Mm-hmm. Maybe on Sunday send a sheet round and get people who haven't given us their email addresses or they've got new ones so we can contact people. Because that will give us the opportunity of connecting with those that we haven't got that with, which are a few, I think. Mm-hmm. But, it's looking like now it's going to be beginning of next year, I think, isn't mm-hmm. it? I would imagine. By the time the end of October comes, mm-hmm. then November, if we focus on getting people connected mm-hmm. by reminding people all the time. Because you just have to keep reminding people over and over again, because people are just slack on them, really, mm-hmm. doing things like that.
Busy. People are busy.
No, they're slack.
It's a law of marketing as well.
Yeah. It is, man.
Yeah, you have to keep, you know, I mean, Hazel, the last couple of weeks, you know, with the fresh start, it's like you keep mentioning it.
I've got a horrible feeling that everybody's bought, you know, as soon as they see me coming up, it's like, oh, a fresh start.
No.
Because at the end of the day.
You're fresh every time.
This fresh start will be yeah. commencing.
Fresh start is commencing.
We all know we're on a countdown now.
Yes, we do.
Yes, that was my
two starts in the same sentence. Yeah. Who starts
fresh
in the same
start
sentence?
Start! Say commence. Good change.
Yeah, it's good. Just waiting for the countdown. So, a number of days to fresh start. How many days to fresh start?
10? Yeah. 10?
What are they, rip off?
I'll have a timer at the front.
Fresh start calendar.
I stick it on notices. Only so many days to fresh start.
Yeah, Mr.
Chance,
if you want to start.
Yes. How many people have signed up?
I don't know. Well, with Jay, we've got four or five people in 2 weeks. I ought to be clear about this. I'll let the 7 know tomorrow.
Well, it's another 10 days, yeah. I mean, who knows how many more people will come out.
The doors are open. Your chance to enter. Yes. Yeah, about 5.
Yeah. Well, you can get at least one more notice in.
If I'm invited. Yeah. On the commencement.
Anything else other than the commencement of Fresh Start?
I would just like to say as a 7 that anybody is very welcome to share anything on Sunday morning if they feel God is leading them to do so.
So that's nobody right now then.
We're all wondering.
Well, if no one wants to do it, then, or if there's no one who's fled to do it.
Yes.
No, I was just thinking, I'm going to be talking about Cities of Refuge as a new wineskin, which probably would be...
It might be relevant.
Might be relevant to everybody in one sense, to a degree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I can do that.
Are you all right with the Crosskin boys listening to that?
Yes.
Done.
Yeah, I think it might it'll certainly interest a couple of them. It might challenge the rest. And the others who don't listen anyway, they'll still not listen. It's not a problem, is it, really?
I haven't got anything yet, but I am open to being given some tea. Okay.
Right. What's that? So, anybody had any thoughts, feedback on church chatty stuff that we talked about? Anything that's come up as an issue or problem? Or is everybody excited?
Yeah, very. Yeah. I was challenged by something Becky said, actually. Challenged in a good way, though, for myself. Okay. Yeah. For myself. When you were talking about how God was saying to you about letting things go all for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was challenged about what can I not let go of that I need to let go of. Mm-hmm. And there was something in particular that I do need to let go of. And it's not the fonts.
The colours.
Fonts.
We've already let go of that.
The font writing.
Yeah.
But
yes.
That was just your practice run.
That was just my practice run, yeah. So, yeah, I did feel very challenged, and that I heard God clearly say that I needed to just put it all in his hands, and yeah, it's scary. And trust, because that has been a big thing with me, is trust.
Mm.
It was a good challenge.
Mm. Good. Excellent.
Anybody else? Oh, we're all good.
So we're all good in the sense of all of it. Like the, I mean, obviously the groups we've been working at for a while. So what about the rest of it? In terms of the wedding ceremony, engagement. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. No thoughts, no issues?
Excellent. I'll put some stuff on that side.
So you've got some thoughts and issues?
No, not issues, just in
thoughts.
It's an engagement. Yeah, I was engaging with God and talking to him about it. Find it. With various legislative things and bits. Many pieces of paper. Oh, okay, wedding ceremony. But well, I was just engaging with God about it. So, okay, well, what is it? What are we supposed to engage with? So, we said to make our vows before Him and to Jesus, and I'll give you rings of sonship. And also release new mantles, crowns, and scepters to those who enter a new level of relationship. And this is, God said, this day is not only a wedding day, but also your coronation day, as you take your positions in heavenly authority. Your ketubah is agreed, and your destiny will be unveiled to a new level. Will you marry me? Will you have no other gods before me? Will you leave the old to cleave to the new? Will you honour my father as I honour him? Will you honour my father as sole provider? Will you honour your image in the father? Will you cease comparing yourself to others? Will you take your place within the hedge of protection so your authority can increase? Will you commit yourself to being fruitful, multiplying, filling your sphere, overcoming all obstacles and ruling? Will you answer creation's groan for restoration? Will you commit to fulfilling your heavenly blueprint as Lord's King's sons? Will you seek first my kingdom in righteousness? The answer is yes. You are to be joined to the Lord, become one spirit with him in holy matrimony.
Is that going to be shared with the whole church as far as, you know, the...
Or this?
Mm. Or is that just for you?
One, just me. No, it's basically for us, but it's like, in a sense...
That, that's what people are signing up to, isn't it? Mm. So they really need to know that, don't they?
Yeah, I guess so. I imagine we'll get a bit more between now and then.
Mm-hmm. And will you do like a teaching on the ketubah before we get to the 31st? Will you, I know you have taught on it, but will you do more of a... Because again, I think it's repetition.
A summary.
With the new things that you're getting, you know, the new revelation you're getting.
New revelation as
well. Well, this sort of thing. And just I feel like it's become something multi-dimensional now, whereas I think when you taught it before it was less multi-dimensional because we've just got a lot more added to it.
Yeah, I guess so. I'll do whatever. Yeah.
We need to do a prep, sort of marriage prep, don't we?
Yes. We're going to do a pre-marriage course.
Yeah.
In December. A December pre-marriage course.
I think you made a joke, but I think that's important, don't you? You know, if you were going into an African marriage,
you would understand.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. I mean, I think the thing Nigel shared was great. Yeah. I think it was really, really good. It was like a direct download, and I think that, you know, deaf people really do need to hear that. Because I think it spelled out, look, this is not just some other day. It's a special day, and it has consequences for us in terms of what it will unveil in terms of relationship. I think so. Let's be open. I mean, everyone, in a sense, seeks God for themselves. If God shows you something, then share it so that we can get a... I'll post this on Slack, then you can peruse it. But, you know, it is... obviously, it's different for everybody, because everyone's at different stages of where their relationship with God is. And we're not necessarily asking everyone to say yes to that, if they couldn't, because it's like, that freaks some people right out, wouldn't it? But for those who are actually representing the church, which is us, effectively, we need to be comfortable with that, and with anything else that comes in the meantime. And it's like, it's the whole that God is actually, you know, marrying. It's the thing, it's the whole, and within the whole there are obviously lots of people at different aspects who will benefit from what the whole moves into, even if they're personally not at that point in their own lives where they're fully understanding. But it will have an effect because of what happens as a result of it. But yeah, I'm sure we can see about how we communicate with that over the next few months. In different ways. I mean, I can do a recap of Ketubah. I think it was 4 or 5 sessions.
There's four.
Yeah.
There's four.
Yeah.
We could summarise it in 6, couldn't you?
Well, yeah, I've got more now. But, yeah. But the first whole session, which was probably the sort of wasn't really so much about Ketubah, was it? It was more about the principles of relationships with God coming from, this is not a law, this is intimacy and a call into something, which is, you know, redefines what people think of God in terms of the Ten Commandments and Him being waiting there just to, you know, with a slavery mentality. I mean, that was the key. It was calling slaves out of Egypt and then calling slavery out of them so they could see their sonship, which was the thing. So Ketubah itself is a fairly sort of straightforward thing, a contract, an agreement, that you, like marriage vows. I mean, it's a similar type of thing, isn't it? But I guess the key aspect to it is, it isn't something that we're going to demand of God. We're going to keep our part. That's the thing. It's like we're making a commitment to fulfill the blueprint He's given us individually, our scrolls, our destiny, and that's what we're bringing into this, and God is bringing in His side of it, is to provide obviously everything that enables us to do that. But it isn't like you're going to get up every day and remind Him of that, because that's not the way it works, is it? In working marriage, well, I'm getting my vows out and I'm going to remind you what you said you're going to do every day. Yeah. But you know what I mean? It's like that. It wouldn't go down too well, would it? In that, so it's not, it can appear very performance orientated if you don't come from it at a relational aspect of, I just want to love you and fulfill everything in my life that's going to bring blessing and honour to you. And of course God is like, well, I want to give you everything to enable you to do that to its fullest measure, which is not necessarily what, you know, if you listen to people talking about Ketubah out there, they're not necessarily all coming from that same place. Some of them are coming from, well, yeah, this is, I'm going to make sure God gives me this. Now, God doesn't mind us reminding Him, in the sense of, you know, we've got an agreement, and therefore it's like we talk. It's like with Abraham, God talked with Abraham, and they sort of, hey, are you going to do this? There's so many people in that city, and there was a dialogue that we can have with him over certain things, but it's the attitude of heart, really, which is the key. So I think that for us is sense of, okay, yeah, where are we all individually with that, and then corporately a way of expressing that to him, you know, which has to have some sort of ceremony aspect to it, because what is an invitation to a wedding, you know. It didn't say an invitation to the marriage of, because the marriage is what comes after the wedding, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So it's the actual wedding that will then usher in the marriage, deeper relationship, the ongoing thing with him. So yeah, it'll be interesting to be sure.
So do you think the Israelites understood that, or did they think that God was going to rebuke them?
Well, yeah, they were slaves. They were friend. So it was like, you know, we don't want to die. So we're not risking it.
I'd rather die in that place than not.
Well, yeah, but you haven't lived 430 years in slavery, in that sense. So, you know, it's that sort of mentality that caused them to go or run off with foreign gods all the time. Mm-hmm. Having even those who did cross over and get their inheritance and have their land, they still, because they didn't agree to marry God, he married them. Mm-hmm. In spite of their, we don't want to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he wanted a people for himself, and he wanted to bless them, and he wanted to provide for them and demonstrate to the world, this is what it is to be with me. And then they went off and kept running off to others, and eventually, and now we want a king like everyone else. So there was an ongoing relational problem that he had with them, which ended up in divorce. You know, which is a sad thing. You know, and that's where, you know, where it talks about, you know, God hates divorce. It's not because the divorce, because divorce was a legal thing. God instituting the right to legal separation and through breaking of covenant.
So where is the divorce in the Bible? Where is that divorce in the Bible?
Where is it mentioned?
Yes.
I can't remember now. Is it Malachi? I think it's Malachi. But it says God hates divorce. But the reason he hates it is because he's been through it. And he actually knows what it feels like to be separated from people and the damage it causes and the hurt and the pain and everything else, because he's been through it himself. Again, so the religion will say God hates divorce, and that equates to God hates divorced people. Because, and that's the problem, this church stigmatizes divorced people on the basis of God hates divorce. Well, actually, divorce was a legal thing that was instituted by him on the basis of the ketubah. So it wasn't that there was something wrong in that, although obviously you prefer people not get divorced, but it's the pain and everything it causes, which he knows. I mean, can you think that he invested from sort of the beginning to have a people that he would have a relationship with, and from Adam onwards they basically kept, you know, turning away. He had a long history of perseverance and disappointment. God can be disappointed, but emotionally, I mean, it's like, you know, it's not very pleasant, is it? When you give everything to a people and they turn around and say, oh, well, we'd rather have the wrong gods. Because that puts us in with the people. Sad, but that's what happened. So, yeah.
Where are you going to put that on Slack? Is it...
I'll post it on Slack.
Just under your name, is it? I'm just thinking...
Could you email it to me and I'll put it here as well?
Yeah. I mean, I will post it. Where should I post it? Where do you want me to post it? I mean, I can post it in
12.
In 12. Or I can post it anywhere. You want me to post it, basically.
Unless you start a new
banal
thing called
Ketubah.
We might already have one. We've got one. I don't know.
The thing is, if you haven't looked at it, it comes up in bold anyway. Yeah. So you know there's something there. Yeah.
Well, I'll post it where you can find it.
In your channels.
Yeah. I'll post it in the 12. Then everyone can have a look at it from there. Can
Any updates you want to share from your
There's a few updates
USA tour?
General. I mean, I posted three legislative things for you in the revealed law bit.
Today.
Yeah.
Pinged at me.
Which were some legislative things that recently I've engaged with. A couple of them actually in activations that I was doing with other people and just engaging in legislative groups with, let's go to the Court of Kings, and normally I don't bother to get involved just in case I get lost somewhere. So it was, but at this time God said, actually no, I've got something to do. One's the Law of Jubilee, which I posted, and again that's relating to freedom, bringing people into freedom, particularly, you know, the Joshua generation. So it's relating to that sense. The Law of New Beginnings. Which again is on behalf of the Joshua generation for sonship. And the other one was legislation for the depth of the father's heart, which I think would probably relate to the relationship and stuff, but particularly in terms of intimacy and going deeper and dealing with orphan spirit and things like that. So they're all on there for your perusal.
When you do things like that, can we use that, or what else can we use?
Well, in a sense, what we normally do is come to an agreement that we're wanting to embrace that. Yeah. I mean, I can use it, and I, you know, the Joshua generation can use it. So, as part of the Joshua generation, yes. But if we wanted to record it as part of the statutes here specifically, then you just have to agree, say yes, we want these as part of our statutes and get them written into the statutes.
But everybody who is Joshua generation can use it.
Yeah, because that's what they're for. They are specifically for. Yeah, but it doesn't do any harm to. Yeah. I mean, in a sense, I have taken these through the process of kings, chancellors, and scribes for. For the Joshua generation, myself, and that. So essentially, yes. But if we want to specifically agree them for our own statute book, then we need to do that. I'm going to presume because we have to make that decision. In any of those things. So, but I've put a lot of the legislative things and all the different things that I've done as a result of legislative things within that folder. Useful documents folder. So there's a legislative decrees in there, which is there's a lot of stuff in there.
But there I had the same question. I was thinking, which of these can we use and which can't we?
I wouldn't put them in there unless everyone was authorised to use them in general. But for here it's like, I think we do need to. Because we have a procedure to follow, so that they get put into the revealed law and then they get agreed and put into the enacted law, whatever it's called. them.
Then we can make them as declarations for ourselves, can't we?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, use it. And basically, they give you the authorization then to make declarations as a decree on behalf, using that as your framework to do it. And, you know, there's quite a lot of examples of things I've done with it, which is sort of like calling things or using the law of religious freedom and other things, declarations on the basis of the law of religious freedom, so that's up there. And there's quite a number of others. Legislation for a new order ecclesia, call to the Joshua generation. So I've been doing quite a lot of this stuff this year, so that's what Bill asked me to do. So there's quite a lot of different things that relate to that.
A number of them.
Most of them are on Slack. I think more. They're certainly within that useful documents folder anyway. You know, in one place in there. The printer has this interesting colour background. Came out green on that. Well, it did. I'll print it out. I'm sure it wasn't that colour originally.
No.
Parchment coloured.
Yes, it was parchment.
Oh. Parchment colours before. Green. Okay. Well, the US trip, and it was a very specific thing this time in terms of what God, you know, wanted me to do in Kearney, which was in Nebraska. That was the original thing. When God spoke to me about engaging the heart of the nation, the spine of the nation and the heart of the nation, then yeah, someone came forward and basically said that they had a mandate for me to go to the heart of the nation. So it was like, oh, this lines up then, which is why, you know, I wasn't not intending going back to the US this year until that happened. So then, basically, you know, it was very interesting because in each of the three places, the same issue arose, which was opposition based on our stance on coverings, which we don't believe in them. So that reared its head, which I think is an indication of what's going on in the out there, because there is a huge movement with the whole apostolic prophetic thing of coverings and providing coverings and providing churches of coverings, and you have to be under a covering. This goes back years. I mean, Jeremy and Alice and Joe will know all about this from Covenant Ministries days. That was the thing. You had to have an apostolic covering. Otherwise, you weren't kosher, basically. I'm sure kosher is probably the right word, but... But it's been a major thing. As soon as there was a calling for people to start engaging more organically and in more small groups of people who began to gather together, then that shepherding, covering thing became prominent. You know, and it was, I mean, really prominent. I mean, you had books written from a real heavy perspective on it. Like, if you weren't under somebody, you weren't effectively in trouble. Fear-inducing trouble, seriously. And that challenge is out there, and I've been hitting it hard, because actually it stinks. That's why most people are still in the wilderness, because they're in the shadow of the mountains that have been built there. I can't see. No. So three occasions that came up in Dallas, with the whole sort of group basically challenged our coming, or my coming, and doing whatever. And then in Wichita, they had a building booked for the conference, and the person basically looked up stuff and then told them they couldn't use it on the basis of coverings. And then in Kearney, someone came to Catherine and said, Well, you haven't informed us about this. You haven't got our permission. We're the apostolic covering for this area. So it was really, you thought, okay, this is interesting. This is sort of provoking and highlighting the issues that are there, which are stopping people engaging God for themselves. So that was an interesting sort of prelude that I found out once I'd been there, and there was a lot of political manoeuvring, political spirit operating a lot in that, because that's generally what that really operates under. It's a political thing. It's basically wanting to be control and in control and that, and you know, that will get more and more, I think, controlling, because if the authority of the God is removing it, saying, I don't recognize this authority from a heavenly perspective, then they're left with more earthly control. And so it's probably going to get worse. And people, I think that will show people more, hey, I can't say anymore. You know, for some. But we are part of calling people out of that is to address that, to see people set free and see people brought out into the light. No. So Dallas was, you know, I went to three places in Dallas. One which was, you know, a group from the Engaging God program, but they, although they're actually based in Dallas, someone flew in from Austin and someone came from California. So it was like, because they connect online with people, so you know, people came for the day. So that was good. That was, just good to connect with people that, again, I sort of heard and met, and some people came up from different places. And then went to another place which basically I didn't know them at all. But God opened up the door about a few months ago. This lady contacted me and said, can my husband and I come over and spend some time with you in the church in September? So I phoned her and said, well, actually, I'm in Dallas in September. And she came back and said, well, I live in Dallas. Oh, maybe God's opening a thing here. You know. But originally it wasn't going to operate, and then this other issue rose up with this sort of thing. So that dealt with that. So I spent two or three days there, which was really good. And there was lots of really interesting questions and people, and they're sort of really keen, and they've quite a number of people signed up there to program and are now engaging. So that opened up another avenue and another whole church grouping which weren't operating with this stuff before. And some people actually from Chengdu were there, which is China. So they were on furlough from China and from Chengdu, where David Pinkerton is, and they were there. So then they've now signed up for the program. So that was interesting, because now I've got an invite to go to China next year, so to Chengdu, which in Chinese is actually called Heavenly Government, which is that's a good place to go. So that was really interesting, and then connected up with another group. But people did come up. Some people came up from Houston. Two or three people came up from Houston for the few days, and then people came from a few other places around and about. And actually, in with Polly Eckhart, in the other place in Dallas, people came down from Mountain Time place. So it was quite a sort of interesting connection with people. But it was good. It opened up, and made a clarity for people, and brought a, now you need to get your act together and get a blueprint and start working it. Because a lot of people are just hanging back. They're just hanging back. Well, we've got sort of a bit of a blueprint. How long have you had it? Oh, well, 18 months. And so, what? No, 18 months? What have you been doing for 18 months? It's like, I didn't quite say it like that, but it's like, that was my encouragement, was get on with it. It's like, you can do it. Because they don't feel that they can do it, even though God's called them to do it. They're holding back because they don't feel equipped. So some of it was, hey, let's do some equipping. But the other thing was, actually, you have got this, you can actually do it. God's called you, he's given you the authority. Unless you actually do it, nothing will happen. You know, start calling people to gather around this, not just, well, we're just sort of pitter-pattering around it. So you have to come out and say, no, this is a blueprint for an Ecclesia which will become a city of refuge, and we're going to do it. You know, so they've, you know, taken some steps forward with that. Wichita, again, was a conference-type gathering, but people from all sorts of different streams came. A lot of them not really heard a lot of this stuff before. Some of them have, and some of them it was, again, a real challenge, and some of them, you know, shifted from where they were and left where they were to start something new, which I thought was really good. Because, again, they had this blueprint, but they had been waiting for something to launch it. So eventually, you know, they have launched it, and now people are starting to gather. Unless you start something, you know, nothing happens. It's like you're waiting all the time. So, in essence, that was a really positive time there. And then, you know, up in Kearney, I mean, I was really blessed by the number of people who came. I mean, you know, there was about 120 people who came from all over the States. You know, some drove for 2 days from San Diego to get there. And I thought, you couldn't even drive for 2 days in the UK, could you?
You'd run out
of land, you'd be off the end.
You'd get back again.
You'd be off the end. So it's like, you know, people drove, you know, even, and they came for the whole, you know, 4 days there. And then some drove down from Michigan, which is, you know, half the country, basically, again, just from the north, all over. So there was representatives from, you know, all the four corners and various points in between, which, you know, was really good. And again, some people, first time hearing some of it, they just, I don't know how they managed to get invited, but they came. Some from Missouri, from IHOP in Missouri, which is interesting. And they were really, really, God really met with them over it, and they just realised how IHOP had been failed to fulfil the mandate for Joshua Generation by seeking youth. Right. Yeah. And then they said, we absolutely see exactly what you're saying. We have no mentors. We have a generation. We've reached out to young people, and there are no fathers and mentors for them. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, that's it. So they were, you know, keen to go back and do whatever they're going to do with it. But there were people from all around who, you know, were operating under in these apostolic prayer networks and things, and, you know, which was just like, you know, I mean, I didn't know that until I started talking to them, but, you know, I wasn't going to hold back on challenging the whole thing, because it was just like that was the message, I think, for the thing, was good to get out from under your coverings and start hearing God for yourself. So it was a, you know, different dynamic, but very open, and a lot of interested people came up. People came from Phoenix, Cheryl, and these guys came from Phoenix, particularly, as you know, Ian Clayton and Justin had a conference that weekend as well. And then the actual day itself, the National Summit Day, was interesting in that it highlighted, surprising to me, a lack of understanding about the court system from those who were proponents of the court system, just those who were running the Courtrooms of Heaven Facebook page and setting up court people all over the country. Didn't have a clue how to run a court case. So it was like, first thing, it's like, well, I'll honour them and encourage them to do the court case bit we did in the morning, which was to deal with Freemasonry and division within the nation and separation between North and South and black and white and all the different colours. I mean, it was, you know, a heavy case, but it was just disaster. I mean, they were like, oh, there were all these people wailing and coming up and lying on the floor and all the stuff. I mean, it was just like, Okay, how do I rescue this without sort of?
So you're doing it wrong.
Well, yeah, in the end, I did. I had to go up to the guy and said, "Look, this isn't a Heavenly Court case. This is being done here." So I said, "You know, we need to deal with it." So he's tried to deal with it. So in the end, I just took over and said, "Look, we're going to do this differently. We're going to step into heaven, and we're all going to hear the accusations, and you're all going to deal with them, and then we're going to get a verdict, and then we're going to release the verdict." And we did. And, you know, then, you know, got some people feeding back, that which was positive. But to start with, it was just like, oh, what have I let myself in for? And in this, it was like, particularly as it was live streamed as well. So it was like, it was a little bit chaotic, to say the least.
Sometimes that kind of thing, though, if, you know, this is how you don't do it.
Well, yeah, well, that's what really I said. So in the end,
really,
I mean,
in that sense, it was potentially...
Yeah, well, I had to take that approach and say... There's nothing wrong with identifying with the problems from an earthly perspective and feeling God's heart about it, which is what people do. They start feeling, wow, this is terrible, the division and separation and all the stuff that's going on. They feel it. Mm-hmm. But then you cry out to God, asking him to fix it, which is what they were doing. You know, they were praying to God in the court case. You know, and it's just like, okay, this isn't how it works. It's like, no, we use a verdict and we take the verdict and we make declarations based on the verdict because we now have authority to see this change in the nation, you know. So that was you know, interesting, but in the end it was a good result and good stuff came out of it. You know, then I sort of shared some stuff about the circle of the deep and aligning things for the nation to open up heaven for this new governmental structure of the crown of 24 points over the nation and the different principalities that were going to relate to that, so a whole lot of different angels that were assigned by God to relate, which was good. And then I used some of the declarations and decrees, and then we did this Liberty Charter thing, because what I felt God was, it was like God wants to bring a new expression of government. But there had been this Liberty Charter that was done by Gary Beaton in 2005, and then I think in 2014 it was agreed by certain big names, you know, Dutch Sheets and those sort of people, and they signed it in this sort of thing. So it was like, okay. And you know, I didn't necessarily, you know, it wasn't my total cup of tea, but it was like, I actually honoured it because I felt it, something had been done and this had given... thing. But
who was it done by, sorry?
Gary Beaton. He was someone who worked with Bob Jones a lot. He was a film producer, you know, quite a well-known Hollywood film producer, and operates on the timeline and has gone back to see how things were written. So he, and his whole preamble to it with the Freemasonry roots was just like bang, straight in people's faces. I mean, it was held nothing back. Okay. You know, pacts with Lucifer for well-being in the nation. I mean, it was like real straight. But, which is exactly what I saw. But I only picked this up like 2 weeks before I was going to go. So, but I felt it was right to use it, honour it, and then see a new set of founding fathers come forward for this crown of government in all the different regions, connecting all the east, north, south, east, west, and the different parts. To form a new heavenly government, which is what we did, and people really responded to it. There was no problem with anyone there. Problems came later. It was quite a lot of stuff. Apparently, I only connected up with a couple of people, but you know, not Gary Beaton himself. But you know, in the end, I sort of clarified. Part of the problem is, it's like, you know, someone asks a question on Facebook, and you sort of give it the bare bones answer, and then people take that and like, because that's what they saw. They didn't see the whole event. They saw one paragraph or one couple of sentences, and they were like, "Ah, oh, you're saying that you've completed what Gary Beaton did, and it didn't." No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying we honoured what he did and we used it to make further legislation to get heavenly government. So in the end, I sort of calmed it down. But it's, you know, it's just what happens. People sort of, they're very, very quick to jump to conclusions without actually knowing. So I gave them a transcript. Someone, Carmen, is it Carmen? Rodriguez, is an older couple, Carmen and Rudy. They're great. I mean, they have this On Eagle's Wings ministry or something. Quite a large ministry, I think. And they just have embraced the Engaging God stuff in the last few months. And they were there. And they transcribed the whole thing. So I had a whole transcript of everything that was said. So I just said, look, if you really want to know what was said, here you go. Here's the transcript. You know, I did sort of read through it just in case I said anything that I shouldn't have said. or could have been misconstrued, because I didn't say anything negative at all. But, you know, it's like in a flow of stuff, you sort of just say stuff, don't you? So, but it worked out right in the end.
Stir them all up.
Yeah, well, yeah. And then the evening was, I mean, that was so fun. It's like, Joe McCracken was there from Phoenix, and he's got this jam stick thing, which makes all these noises, and you sync it Bluetooth with your iPad or your thing, and you can just play these things. So it was him and a couple of others and a couple of ladies who they'd never played together before, but it was just, I said, well, we need something. The previous night they had this old style, this couple that came in, no, they weren't old, but they were old style. And it was just like, okay. Okay, here's an example of old versus new, again. So the second night, I mean, it was fun, because we started off with We Are Family and Born to be Wild. And,
all right.
And so it just basically got rid of every religious spirit that was hanging around, and it's like people just went for it. I mean, people just were coming up in the microphone, singing, noises, people were dancing. It was great. I mean, it was really good, really good fun, which just sort of freed people up. It just really freed people up from, like, just sort of what they used to, really, you know. And I mean, everyone in, you know, in seeing Boy Be Wild was just going wild. It was great. Because it's just sort of, come on, let's get to what it's really about. Like Cassandra Hutton, who was here, I mean, she took the microphone and she just gave this amazing song. Just started going stuff, and people came up, started rapping, people came up and just like, it was great. I mean, but everyone was releasing a sound. Basically, everyone was encouraged to release their own sound. So there were so many sounds, but all together. I mean, it was really fun. You know, I mean, I had a great time. This is, and everyone else did as well. You know, there's all sorts of things going on, but people were just, in a sense, engaging because they were free. You know, the constraints got lifted off them, which was really good. You know, and then, you know, we just then tied it all together. I got them to shift around so they all sat where they were from in terms of the eras, and then we engaged the heavens for the angels, for those eras to be released and for them to be engaged, and then to God to call any of them into benches for those areas. So it became, you know, a completion of it, you know, which now they're responsible to go and outwork. You know, so I've done my bit. I'm just sort of there to hold their hands a bit and encourage them, because, you know, they still need encouraging. But Catherine, who's up in Kearney, or soon to be, and she'll just pick it up. And so she's contacting people, she's making the connections, she's basically asking who was called to government in this area, so they can start connecting, you know, and begin to see an outworking of that going forward, you know. I mean, didn't they? It was just the beginning of a new day. And the amazing thing was, Flora Chan, she was a Taiwanese girl from LA, who I met in LA, who came up. She said, do you realise that the significance of the 24th or the 9th, 2016? So I said, well, I realise it's a significant day. She said, well, no, do you realise the numerology? So she sort of added it all up, and it came out to 888, in the sense of 888, you know. So it was like, you know, a triple new beginnings, a new day. So that was really interesting. And then I think Haggai 2 somewhere, it talks about the 9th, the 24th of the 9th. Actually talks about the 24th of the 9th and how it's a new day and various things. So Well, I didn't, you know, I didn't bother.
They don't call it the 24th of the 9th, though. They would call it the 9th.
Yeah, it was the same 24. Thing.
Yeah. So
it's 9 plus 2 plus 4 plus 1 plus whatever equals 24, which is 888. So. So it was really good. Very interesting just to see the dynamics and just people willing to come and engage. You know, and there was a lot of stuff then which was released at the end, which were what people saw when they engaged, and you know, a lot of angelic engagement, and which you know people have continued to look to explore network. Yeah, so I'd really like to do that in this country at the right time. You know, once we're connected with people from all the different corners and things, and I think it would be something that is a pattern. Very interesting, just the sort of understanding of God's purpose for the U.S. Because I've always wondered, it's like, you know, why the U.S.? You know, it's like in some senses, it's just like. You know, I find U.S. culture alien to me. You know, it's just sort of not my. You know, I would have never, you know, other than Disney, you know, I would have never really wanted to bother with going to the U.S. particularly at all. So it's been one of those things that God had to do something in my heart to bring. But while I was there, it really showed me that the U.S. is a unique country in that most of the people are just from elsewhere. There's very few indigenous people, you know, but, you know, Australia is a little bit like that, but it's a more of a micro thing. This is, they've got people from everywhere, all come, and God's and purpose for that was that they should live together in harmony and live together as one and be a fragrance, all the different fragrances making one fragrance that the world would see, actually, this is what the world is supposed to be like, all together. In different fragrances, but all making one, reflecting the nature and character of God. And of course, their foundational constitution was essentially based on Freemasonry and completely wrecked that, which is why God wants to restore it back to its original purpose. Now, they have, in the natural, taken what they should have been to the world and just interfered all over, because they think it's their right, because of this Freemasonry pact, to interfere with the rest of the world. So rather than being a blessing and releasing a fragrance to the world, that in the flesh, their response is, well, we're going to interfere politically all over the world. You know, so I said, yeah, you need to repent of that. You know, you need to repent. You need to be willing to repent for your attitudes to yourselves and the rest of the world and come from a place of humility rather than pride. So you know, I didn't pull my punches. I mean, it was like, I'm only going to be here once to do this, so I might as well make the most of it and say exactly what God says.
Not planning on going back then.
Well, not necessary to do that again, because it was a one-off thing. But you know, I have got some invites to do some other things. But I think that, you know, was the fulfillment of the vision, you know, of the arrows and the red cords and the four corners and how that's developed over the last 3 years. So I do think that in itself, you know, I still have the relationship with people and I still have the legislative groups and different groups that I'm connected with to help them continue, but I don't feel any need to specifically go and do that at this point in time. But there are things that feel, you know, I am going to do next year. I've been invited to do a conference with three or four other people on spirit travel and stuff. So it's with Bruce Allen, who's quite a well-known guy, Michael Van Vlieman, praying medic, who's, I think someone, Joseph, I think his real name is, but that's in Seattle. It's like a 4-day conference, which is will be a large conference, which I've been asked to do the governmental aspect of, you know, engaging in the spirit. So the others are more testimonies of being translated and that sort of stuff, but without any sense of government, which is what's missing in virtually everything, is a sense of government. It's just people don't get it. So lots of experience and lots of amazing things, but no idea of how that relates to a governmental perspective. So that's what they've asked me to do with that. And I've also been asked to go to Winnipeg. I've sort of been waiting for that for a while. But with the third invite from three different sets of people, that's God, do you really want me to go? Well, yeah. So I think I will. I'll do that. Probably tie that in one trip. So hopefully it won't be a whole trip. So. But next year, I really feel to go east. I think God's just drawing my heart to the east, and I've got so far an invite to go to New Zealand and do again legislative governmental stuff in New Zealand in sometime. February, March, end of February, beginning of March or something. Also got an invite to go to China, which will be the end of April, beginning of May, to do with in Chengdu and Borneo. Which is sort of...
Isn't that closer to do that from New Zealand?
Yeah, well, I'll tie in somewhere. Whichever way makes it easier to go, I think. Yeah, that's some of the thing. And then, that's sort of that area. But India is the thing that is opening up, because I've made a contact. There's several people who are in the Engaging God in Mumbai, which is sort of on the west coast of India. It used to be Bombay, I guess. Sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who are really, looking legislatively to begin to do things and looking for benches, and some of them are connected with the people who are looking to do the translation. But I was connected with a guy through Seattle who is called Abraham, and he effectively has planted 1,000 churches himself and now has a network of 5,000 churches. It was 4,500 a while ago, but now it's 5,000. And I made the, so just chatted with him, he was asking questions. God's been drawing him this way, but if you're sort of involved with 5,000 churches, you're not going to just expose them to something unless you're really sure. So I sort of made a couple of engagements with him. And then he joined in with, he listened to the day, in the summit day, online. He live streamed, listened to them, watched all the live stream. So, and I met, he says, I mentioned India a few times. It's like, I don't know whether it was subliminal or what, but he sent me this long email just sort of saying how he'd been called to establish government, and he actually had started a governmental party, and he was very keen to connect. They're coming, I think, sometime in February back to India, and may stop off, try and come down and visit us on the way. But he's making really strong overtures about engaging that whole grouping of churches. So
he's going to come here?
Well, yeah, he's in Washington State, and then they're going back in somewhere next year, early next year. Would like to, just because they're going back by Heathrow, so they'd like to stop it.
We're like, compared to that, don't they?
Yeah, but I don't know what 5,000 churches means. Could mean 5,000 churches of two people.
Only two people, that's more than
we've got. Yeah, but it's like spread out, I imagine, a bit over an area, I should imagine. I don't know. But I do feel, again, it's one of those things that I've been legislating for, opening up of people groups, areas, nations to this message. I mean, we've got to see, if a harvest is going to come to the world, then we have to see everyone all over the world who are going to receive the harvest and bring it into the new. Mm. You don't want people going around the wilderness, having come out of Egypt, we want them to go straight into the promised land. Without passing go, sort of thing. Sort of straight in. And I think these sorts of things are opening up. And, I haven't got an invitation to go. Well, I have got an invitation to go to India, to several, but I'm waiting to see what develops with him, and you know, I'll connect with him a few more times, and if he comes here, you know, obviously there'll be an opportunity for him to engage and talk and share, and which is good. So there is a lot of, you know, positive things which are coming out of what we're doing and sort of spreading out in different dimensions, you know, around. There are a few invitations for the UK as well next year as well. So we've got an invitation to go back to Winchester beginning of the year. I'm doing a weekend, well, Friday night, Saturday morning with Jane Almond in somewhere, London Way. North London, is it?
In the East End.
Is it? East End of London, isn't it?
Well, it's the north.
It's North London, isn't it? It's Oxford Way, isn't it?
Where she live?
I don't know. Anyway,
no, Essex side.
It's up that way somewhere.
It's near Romford.
Romford.
It's Essex.
Yeah.
But isn't Essex, apparently.
Is it?
Romford hasn't been in Essex for years.
Anyway,
pretty close by.
I'm doing something up there. She's doing a sort of school, which is walking.
Programme, it's called. Yeah. Walking in Sonship.
Sonship. So they want me to finish it with sort of governmental Sonship stuff. Right. So I'm going to do that in June. Been invited, there's a couple who are, again, going to come here, I think, because they're down on holiday sometime. Dave, is it Dave?
27th of November.
Yeah. So we're not around, unfortunately. No. We're somewhere in the Caribbean, somewhere hot. I don't know where Jeremy is. But they're going to come anyway. But they've invited me to go and do a weekend, or I don't want to do weekends, whole weekends, so it's like a Friday night and a Saturday morning in Herefordshire. Again, they're being drawn, well, I think it's Herefordshire. Worcestershire. Yeah, well, they call it Herefordshire.
All right. So, well, they live in Worcestershire.
Yeah. So I don't know, but that again, it will open up. They're on a journey, and they've got a number of groups of people that are looking for connection. So that's there. We will get some people coming down the middle of next year from the northeast. There's a whole church in the northeast who are embracing this through Chris Lazinski.
Yeah, they're hiring
us. How many in the whole church?
Chris Lazinski spends half of his year in Cyprus. The cold bit over here, so he's leaving. He's just left, so he'll be back in June next year or something. But he's connected with the cold church, and the pastor of the church has signed up for the Engaging God program, and they want to take their whole church through transition. So they would like to come down.
Bring the bus.
Yeah, they're going to bring a few people down. He's coming down. He says then people keep jumping on the bandwagon, so there'll be a few people coming down, I think, just to engage at some stage.
When's it? I don't know when.
Sometime in the middle of the year, after he's back from Cyprus.
So is it possible to listen to the summit? Is it possible to?
Yeah, it's on the Engaging God program.
It's on the church website, yeah, actually. If you go to the front page of the church website, you'll see the live stream and recording.
Yeah, I would listen to the recordings, the live stream audio, unless Jeremy's
I haven't
added
tried it.
I would just listen to the recording.
Yeah. If you want to see people leaping about, we are family.
Yes,
need to watch video number four.
Yeah, watch video number four. Although I didn't have the tech to get the sound to be any good, but you can see people very excitedly leaping around and having fun and enjoying the freedom of releasing a sound. I think, you know, there's a sense where. Yeah, we've got to look at where we go forward with this. As a FAR Mountain, we're meeting with the Enterprise Mountain on Monday, next Monday, to look at, okay, what is this? You know, talking to Jeremy about, well, where do we go? What is God doing in this? I mean, the thing is, it's like it can't just be about me, because there's a huge risk in it being about me, because I obviously don't want it to be about me personally, but actually if I wasn't here, what would happen?
And also, you need to be at home sometimes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we didn't add up to that much time over a whole year when you look at it.
Quite a lot.
Yeah, well, you know, a couple of months.
You have to go as well?
Well, she did get an invite to go to New Zealand. They even said they'd pay for her airfare, but... She's
2 weeks out of 5 to go to a conference.
Yeah, she's a holiday, see, that's the thing.
She's going to release me to Humpy.
God's going to do next year.
Yeah.
Who knows what God's going to do next year?
Whereabouts in New Zealand is it?
It's. I go into the North Island, and it's right up in the very north of the North Island, which is sort of where the tropical area. Yeah, sort of something, and then in Auckland, and then in the South Island. At the moment, she's now tying together potentially all the other people who might be interested. So, lonely. You get all these people that I don't know whether they're male or female. It's like I get this email from Lindley Watson. And I said to Jeremy, what do you think that's male? No, I'm male. No, it's a woman.
50-50 wrong.
Please specify. But when you reply, you're sort of like, okay, well, I just need to be neutral here. Now I'm engaged in this. But, you know, why go to New Zealand? Well, there is something, you know, about New Zealand in its position right at the, you know, furthest point that way, in the sort of, you know, it's one of the first thing it gets a day, isn't it? I guess 12 hours from Greenwich Mean Time, so it gets the day first, effectively. So something, but I was just sort of again saying, well, why? You should, well, because it's like they have Ian Clayton there, they've got Grant Mahoney, they've got Ian Johnson, they've got quite well known people, but they're not doing anything seemingly governmental for there, you know. So it's like, well, okay. So, yeah, it's been quite an interesting period.
Just have to look at the US version, where you're looking at the spine and the heart. Actually, you're looking at the spine and the heart of the world, not just of the US.
Yeah, well, ultimately, yeah, potentially. And then there's, like, there's sort of potential invites to go to France and Germany next year as well, so we have to look at that. But it would be really great if someone else could go. And do some things.
Yeah, that would require some changes in some things.
Yeah.
That's the way things operate, to be honest. Yeah. And one of the things I've actually just written down here is that we need to look at how this develops. And we need to look at the earthly consequences of taking new territories and what that means for us as a 12, but what it means for us as a wider ministry. Now, we're going to talk about some of that on Monday.
Yeah.
But as an organisation, not just as the spiritual side of stuff, we've got to figure out the logistics of making this stuff happen. And that does, as Deb say, rely on work and resources and, as Mike says, who's going to do what? And if we start engaging with 5,000 Indian churches, how many are going to show up? And if people are going to come on a bus from the northeast, that's probably an indication that other people will do the same sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It's not that we haven't had prophetic pictures of this stuff or information about this from God, but he means it.
It does. I mean, things have rapidly increased. When you think of, you know, I didn't post the first YouTube video until October 2013. So we're like 3 years and connected up with thousands of people, basically, through various ways. And, you know, and from just a step of, okay, God, don't know how you're going to do this, but I'll take a step of obedience and do what you say. And, you know, that God is quite capable of doing that. And, you know, the same would apply to here. We might look and think, oh, we're just a small group of people, and what can we do, and how can we do all of it? But at the end of the day, once we're ready, and we're ready to receive, let's say we've got four groups of people, even so, like 12 people here, 15 people, or 13, if you add everybody up from this, and If 130 people came, then we have to take 10 people each. You know, but it could happen overnight.
Things
like that. God can. I mean, in Reading at the moment in the UK, they've seen 5,000 people saved in a few months. And for me, God is showing, you know, what's going to happen because there's no discipleship, and it will end up, you know, not being what it could be. But it shows what can happen, and it happened as a result of an angelic visitation. That's what springboarded it. You know, and I think, okay. You know, and with that, you know, once we're actually geared up to being ready to receive and being ready as an exchange to be proactive in reaching people, groups, and targeting with heavenly legislation and things, you could see 100 people overnight. And you could then see 1,000 people overnight, because 100 people can disciple 10 each if they're equipped. You know, it could happen. And I think we've got to be ready for that to happen, and therefore be ready to disciple people. That's why we need groups. You know, that's why we need, you know, the initial steps of the groups, because it's the Engaging God program's there once they get to that stage. You can just sign up, and you know, and people can help them through that because we've done it. And but it's the okay, how do we get them from point A, salvation, to becoming part of a group, and all that there's and all's needed that will get them into that place. You know, that's what we're, you know, we're out working. And I think we have to be prepared that things can rapidly change. You know, it's like if we've connected with 1,000 people and basically 1,000 people are engaging with us in 3 years, what would happen if in 3 years' time there were 1,000 people engaging with us here? Would we be able to handle that?
Fresh start would have to commence.
You would. Yes, Hazel will be doing fresh start groups every day, 4 times a day, 7 days a week.
Fucking
forever.
No, she won't, because she's training people
to do it. But that's it, isn't it? Yeah. If that would happen. I mean, go back to 2011, and we were able to, you know, by engaging, have 87 nights of meetings. Well, you look at the, how could we possibly have done that?
We were all knackered.
Yeah, but because we didn't have enough people, ultimately, to do it. But we were able to do it because we were committed into it, because it was, people were excited by it, and it was just like, wow, God's moving. No, I don't think God is going to do it like that, because I think that's an old model. But people are going to be drawn, and we're going to draw them when we start shining light. And we have to be, yes, there's some of those are going to come out of the wilderness, and some of them are going to come out of Egypt. But we've got to be ready to be able to help them find their destiny and start to be living stones among what God's doing here. Because then that will give us the capacity to do even more.
Really encouraged and really sort of, because obviously some of the stuff that might share tonight, that diagram that God gave me with the government, 12 things around the government, and God's resurrecting and restoring. I've been doing that for several years now.
Yeah.
I've actually got a daily basis mainly of going around and sending out the sound and calling forth people. And then on Sunday morning in worship, I saw this. I don't know how to describe it, but it was like a central thing. It was almost like a bit of like a maypole, but not a maypole, but it was strands going out all over the world. Just sort of thousands and thousands of strands just from this place going out like that. And then I again, sort of God speaking to me about the reapers and the sowers coming together and all that stuff. And, you know, even this morning, God's speaking to me about when all the harvest stuff came in this morning. Ooh. What up? It's just a sense of
is what can happen.
And some of the things that came to me actually was actually I had to drop certain other things.
Yeah.
To deal with it. Yeah. Deal with it. And that's the way harvest is.
Yeah.
You can't think, well, I'll do it next week. Mm. If you get a window in the weather or something happens, you've got to go with it.
Yeah, and that's the flexibility and the prioritising of saying, we've got to seek first the kingdom, and when this happens, we've got to be willing to embrace it. Otherwise, you know, what will happen? There's no fruit rotting on the ground, because we can't go and pick it up and engage it. You know? But it's not going to happen in traditional revival type things. It's not going to happen that way. You know, I do believe God will draw people, because angels will draw them, and people will, you know, that's what people will come. I mean, Becky's picture years ago of people all streaming down all the paths coming to here. You know, I think, you know, add multiple things to it, but God will draw people supernaturally, not just because we're doing special meetings, but he will draw them. But we will also reach them by engaging and reaching out, and, you know, not just sitting around and just waiting and hoping something's going to happen, but we will be proactive about it, because that's what we do, learn to do legislatively, use the laws, the growth for growth. We have a law of growth. You know, use it. You know, but it's no point using it until we've got the facility for people to be able to come once that is in place, you know. So there's a sort of a procedure. And to me, it's like we need more of the Joshua generation before we get the harvest. Because otherwise, we won't have enough people to be able to reach that harvest. Which is why we need people to get out from under the coverings that they're in locally. You know, there should be people that are here who aren't here because they're covered by an evangelical blanket. You know, which we've got to break through. Got to pierce it and let light shine into it. We can only do that from a heavenly perspective. You know, we're not going to go into places and start usurping authority in places on the earth, but we have authority from heaven to call for people to come out. Now, we need to be careful that obviously we don't sort of, in a sense, promote that to people, that this is what we're doing, but in reality that's what we are doing, because we don't want to create, in a sense, what we'd rather do is all those other churches engage what God's doing and come into it for themselves. That's the preferable thing, that God would want to do that. But to do that, we're going to have to see some changes in personnel.
Well, yeah, you want the leaders to be...
Yeah, but most of the leaders have rejected it, other than Guy. So all the others have rejected it, or some of them are sitting on the fence, because they don't want to go for it because of what others might say.
Yeah.
You know? But then that's where they are. But we need to think about how do we deal with that legislatively? What do we need to do to reach people? You know, it isn't just going to happen without us legislating for it happening and taking responsibility to direct that. You know, and the best way to reach people, you know, there's loads of people out there who don't go to church at all anymore, who once did, and they're just nowhere. Now we need to give a good report to them, find a way of reaching them to say, we found what you're looking for. You know, the reason you left, God is changing things, whatever, you know. Because there must be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who once were, in a sense, part of churches in the area who are now not. Now, some of them may have turned from God, but most of them haven't. They're just waiting. Because God has actually called most of them out. But they're waiting for what? They're waiting for someone to reach them with a good report, with good news, and say, hey, now you can actually come and experience what you're always looking for.
I just wonder, I mean, most people I know who aren't going to church is offence, actually.
Yeah, some of it's offence, yeah. Yeah, but a lot of it's offence because of the structures that offended them.
Well, yeah, but you know? Yeah, but they gets hardened, that offence, doesn't it?
It can do, but then that's why we need to release this whole thing of the Father's heart with love to touch those offences. Because I think that's the whole thing of that. You're authorised to release a new wave of intimacy. You're authorised for deep to call to deep. You're authorised to rip open the hearts of men with the power of love. You're authorised to call orphans to come home into the adoption of sonship. You're authorised to call for the removal of the masks that hide the orphan spirit. You're authorised to call for open heart surgery to remove the hardness of damaged hearts. You're authorised to undo the yokes and remove the heavy burdens of the slavery mentality. You're authorised to release the love of the Father to broken hearts. You're authorised to pour out the balm of the Father's to heal brokenness. And you're authorised to administrate eternal love, the love of God, to call my people back to their eternal identity as sons of light.
That's the
legislation of the depth of the Father's heart. So there's like God is sort of saying, hey, here's something that you can use to begin to reach those people who have got hard hearts and have been damaged. And some of them legitimately, and some of them their own fault probably, but they're still out there. And God wants to reach them.
Because there's other people that are saying, oh, you know, freedom.
They've always said that.
You know, this, getting through that kind of thing is sort of really trying to say
that.
To people, I am not weird.
No, we are all weird.
Praise God. You don't want to be normal, do we?
We're all weird.
Normal.
He wants to be normal.
A normal sort of way. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But see, that's something we need to address legislatively. If those things are out there, some of them have things in history which we can undo.
Some of it's current.
Oh yeah.
Especially after the Takeley Park thing, we're really off the radar, aren't we?
Are we?
I don't know. Take it all back.
But, you know, it's all right, who cares, you know, in a sense.
I know, but it's just what we're wanting to reach people.
But those people who...
That's the blinker.
Yeah, but for those people, they're probably not the people who are going to respond, there's got to be more than this, and are looking for something weird. You know, they're looking for something more. Because they've got ordinary, and they're not satisfied with ordinary. So there's got to be something more that people will... You know, that good report of, look... You know, we're experiencing things that we never even thought dreamed of. We have to give that report to people, but we have to be proactive about it. I think is the message, and reach, look to do something, not just sit around and wait. Hopefully, for God to do something, He will when we've done something.
Well, that's plenty to think about, isn't it?
Do something.
So are we going to engage with those next time?
Yeah, we can do that next time if you want.
So if everybody looks on Slack and...
Have you printed them off? I'd rather have it on.
Well,
yeah,
I've got. Yes, I have one that you can look at.
Here? This is easier if Mike can do it. I'll print it to line up with my. Mike can do that. Can you do that?
What?
Can you get a few copies?
Really good, because then.
Burn a few more trees.
Yeah, the burning the trees. That's not
the paper. That's what you want to do with them. Yeah.
Great.
I'll bring him tomorrow for you, Hayes.
Ta.
Just Hayes. Have you fun? Coming to the 7, you can have him too.
That's not big enough carrots already.
I wouldn't joke, Alice. You never know.
Anything else? Let's go home and digest all that lot, shall we?